Okay, today's daf is Bamatzia, daf Yud Zayin. We left off on daf Tazayin and Beis. We're literally in the middle of a sentence where we left off. I'll just a quick scheduling note. Tomorrow, Be'ezra Hashem, I'm going on my trip, but I'll be leaving. I have to be in Yeshiva at 7, so I'm going to stop 5 minutes early, so it'll be a little bit shorter tomorrow, and Josh Englard is on for Thursday. Okay, so anyway, we were right in the middle of a sentence, literally, on Daf Tezayin and Beis yesterday when we stopped. The Gemara had said a chiddush of Shmuel right after the two dots on Daf Tezayin and Beis, that Shmuel had said that if you find a shtar hakna'a bashuk, you return it to the Bailim, and you don't have to worry that maybe it's going to be used illegally in any way, because even if the loan never happened, it's a shtar hakna'a. The guy was meshabed himself, so it doesn't even matter if the loan never happened. The guy was meshabed himself b'chol mikra. Either way, the guy is meshabed himself, so it doesn't really make a difference. So the Gemara had said that we have a klal tanina that kol ma'isa beizdin hareza yachzir, that anytime you find a ma'isa beizdin you should return it, right? And that was a great support to Shmuel. So says the Gemara, no, that's not a support to Shmuel. When we say kol ma'isa beizdin hareza yachzir, that's talking about shtari chalta asa va'adrachta. That's talking about the type of shtar that there's no cheshash of piron. There's no way you can assume that it was paid up. These are shtaros that Beis Din gives a person in order to be tofes land that he's owed. Those types of shtaros we say that you can return. You should return. So So the Gemara that we left off in the middle of discussing was the last one in line is Dimidina, right? So the Gemara had said, no, maybe the Gemara had brought up this idea that when you have a Shuma, when Beis Din evaluates land that's going to be paid back in place of a Chov, so that's not final either necessarily, because the guy can buy it back. Meaning we assume that the person who owed the money is allowed to retrieve his land if he's able to come up with cash, either within a year or forever. At some point, he's always able to buy it back, right? So so the assumption the Gemara had, Rav had said, is that if he doesn't have a shtar that says that the land belongs to him and that he's purchased the land back, then he's iuda afsara nafshe, and it's his own fault for not having such a shtar that verifies that the land belongs to him, so we don't have to worry about returning any found shtar, right? If we return any found shtar, we don't have to worry that the guy is going to be able to be tofei something illegally, because again, if the lover doesn't have a shtar that says that he repurchased the land, so then he doesn't deserve to be able to keep anything. So says the Gemara now, just explaining this idea that it's on the lover to have a shtar that says that he repurchased the land, the medina arab labayil mahadar. Because in reality, if the malva collects the lover's land in payment for his chov, he never has to really return it, even for cash. Even if the lover comes back one day and says, look, it's my land, it means a lot to me, I have an attachment to it, here's money, I'll pay you for it. No, the malva doesn't have to listen to him. He doesn't have to sell it back to him. But mishum vasisa yashav atov b'nei Hashem hu dam rabbanu tahader. But the rabbanan said, you know, that's really not nice. Asisa yashav atov, you should do the right thing and you should give it back. But hilkach mereshu hu dekazavin. But since meikra din, he doesn't have to sell it back. It's not considered like a continuation of a previous transaction. It's a brand new transaction. If the lovers can get the land back, it's a brand new transaction. You look at Rashi, Mereshav the Kuzavan, Klomar, ain't a pidyon. It's not that he's being poda a land that was confiscated. El tchilas kinyan. It's a brand new kinyan. Kilu shalo haiso, like it was his the whole time. The leficha chakosev shtar mechira aleha, eino toa. So you should be toveh that I want a shtar mechira. I want if I'm going to buy it, I need a shtar that says I bought it. Since it's going to hold him back from returning a shtar of Beis Din, I want the shtar mechira that says that this is mine. So he buy leil mechtav shtar zvini. So he should have a shtar zvini. If he doesn't have a shtar zvini, if he doesn't have a shtar that he purchased the land, so then it's yudav sara nafshei. He's causing himself a loss. Can you say the same thing? No, Misa de Pari, Bayle Lemikri Lishtare. What do you want to say? That if he paid it back, then he should have ripped up the shtar. And therefore, Iu da Afsara Nafshe, by having this shtar still around, because if it was already paid back, he should have ripped it up. No, that's not so pashut. Emer shtamudik kamishtamit lei. Maybe by ishtar chov, the reason he didn't rip up the shtar was that the guy stalled him. Damalei lemachri yahavnalach. The guy said, "Yeah, don't worry, tomorrow I'll give it to you." Tahashalei segabai. I don't have the shtar with me. Just pay me back now. Don't worry, I'll take care of you tomorrow. I'll give you the shtar tomorrow. And sometimes the guy will fall for it. And he'll say, okay. And the shtar will still be out there somewhere. The loan will have been paid back, but the shtar is on the street somewhere. It's out there. So there is more reason to be concerned by a shtar chov that maybe already has been paid back. Or maybe another reason why the shtar chov might still be out there is that generally speaking, it's the lova's responsibility to pay for the sofer. Now, the lova may have paid back the loan. There may have been a $1,000 loan, and the lova paid back the whole loan, but the malva is not giving the shtar back until the lova also reimburses him for the sofer. So maybe he's holding on to the shtar because of the pshita tzafri. So it's possible by shtar chov that the shtar is still out there even though it's already been paid, and therefore there's a chashash that maybe it's been paid and you have to be nervous about returning it. But by other shtaros, by the shtarei adrachta, these other shtaros about confiscating land, where Bezin gives the rights to the person to confiscate land, you don't have to worry that there's going to be anything wrong by returning. You don't have to worry that the guy's going to be tofei shelo kadin. The lover, may have purchased the land back from the malva since he was tofes it. He may have bought it back. Well, if that's the case, the lover should have a shtar that says so. Right? That's his responsibility to take care, make sure that he has a shtar that says so. And we just mentioned Vasis Yashav Atov in this Gemara, and Maritz Chaya says that he says that the classic two sources that you always need to look at on Vasis Yashav Atov. He says Ayin Ramban Reish Parshas Kedoshim VaRav HaMagid Sof Hilchos Shcheinim. What do the Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim and the Magid Mishnah at the end of Hilchos Shcheinim both say? So the Ramban in the beginning of Kedoshim we're pretty familiar with. That's the Ramban of Kedoshim to you, that the Torah requires certain things of us, but then beyond what the Torah requires of us, there's a more broad, general requirement of being Kedoshim, of living a life where it's clear that we're dedicated to God even beyond the letter of the law. The Ramban coins the phrase Menuvel Bereshos HaTorah, that there's such a thing as a person who's a Menuvel Bereshos HaTorah, who does everything like the letter of the law, but the overall themes in his life are things that are really against what the Ratzon Hashem is. He may do the Dvar Hashem, but the Ratzon Hashem is a little bit wanting. The Ramban gives the example of someone who overeats, someone who's just a chazer, he eats everything. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating. Everything's glad kosher, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But Vasiso Yashav Atov, Kedoshim Tiyu, is part of a broader idea that, meaning sometimes Chazal, the Torah will speak in very general terms, because it's not going to cover every single behavior. It's trying to tell you what the general theme of your life is supposed to be. And that's what the Magen Mishnah writes at the end of Hilchos Shcheinim as well. The end of Hilchos Shcheinim, when the Rambam talks about Dina de Bar Metzra. So what's Dina de Bar Metzra? I have a house, and I want to sell my house. So the halacha is, I have to offer first the opportunity to my neighbor to buy the house. My neighbor has to have the opportunity to buy it first. Why? Because it's a nice thing to do. Sometimes people like to own property that's next to each other, so that by a field, more importantly, so that he doesn't have to buy. If I own two fields in two different cities, I'm gonna have to buy separate plowing equipment and I'm gonna have to outfit each one. But if I have two fields next to each other, it's much better for me. So that's what Siso Yashav Atov, and that's what the Magen Mishnah writes at the end of Hilchos Shcheinim. Mevur ba'alachas v'chein kas v'zal v'inyan din bara meitzar hu shetoraseinu atmima nitna b'tikun midos ha'adam u'bahanhagasa ba'olam klalim ba'amiras kedoshim tiyu, that the Torah gave us general rules like kedoshim tiyu v'akavana k'mosh ha'amuzal kadesh atzmecha b'mutalach, and this is like Chazal tell us to kadesh ourselves with that which is mutter to us. Shlei yishatav achar ataivos, we shouldn't always be chasing after ataivos. V'chein amra v'asisa yashav atov. And Vasisa Yashav Atov is another one of those types of statements of the Torah to follow a general theme in life. Vakavana sheisnaheg b'anhaga tova v'yishara im b'nei adam, that we should go on a proper and clear and good path with people. V'lo ayim in aroy b'kolzeh l'tzavos pratim. Now the Torah can't give us every detail. L'fi shemitzvah satorah him b'chol yitzvah b'chol zman b'chol inyin u'behechru chayiv lasos kein. U'midos ha'ad, meaning the Torah governs everything in our lives and it has to be that way. Umidos ha'adam v'anagaso mischalefes l'fi hazman v'ishim. But since the Torah governs every area, every second of our lives, and we know there are thousands and millions of situations that can come up where we have to make a little decision here or there throughout human history, where things change and new ideas come up and new ways of modes of business are invented and are thought up, and there are so many different millions of situations a person can find himself in, it's simply impossible to have a book that tells you what to do in every single circumstance. So that's why the Torah gives these more broad ideas, these klalim of kedoshim tiyu, vasisa yashvatov. If it was practical to give us instructions on every decision we make in our lives, the Torah would do it. But it's not practical. We simply would never have time to read such a book. By the time we'd find the answer to our given situation, our life would be over already because it would take so long to get to everything. He says you'll find Chazal will say a lot of things about Vasisa Yashav HaTov or about Kedoshim Tiyu like we have in our Gemara. That part of Vasisa Yashav HaTov, according to our Gemara, is that if I confiscate a field from somebody and then he wants to buy it back from me, I should sell it to him. So Chazal give us ideas, but it says in Magen Mishnah, make no mistake about it, Chazal are not telling us that's what Vasisa Yashav HaTov means and nothing else. No, they're telling us the general idea that Vasisa Yashav HaTov means doing good things. Umehem sha'asu osam bedin gamur, umehem lechadchila v'derech hasidus. And he says, and you have to know, sometimes when Chazal say something under the category of Vasisa Yashav HaTov, it's telling you something that Chazal instituted as a real din, as a din derabanan. They were so convinced by the yashrus of a certain act that it became a din derabanan to follow that sense of yashrus. And other times, it's just a midas chasidus. But he says, either way, v'akol midivrei emzal. Although the theme of Asiso Yashav HaTov and the theme of Kedoshim Tiyu is a theme da'oraisa, each detail is only going to be midrabanan. Because you can't say that it's a chiyuv da'oraisa in every one of the thousands and thousands of situations that come up in my life. So if I have the general theme of my life is heading in the right direction and goes with the yashrus, so then I'm fulfilling Asiso Yashav HaTov, even if the details on a da'oraisa level are not going to be binding. And he says, that's why we say, and that's why we say that the words of our beloved, the words of the Chazal, are even more beloved than the words of Torah in that sense, because Chazal are sort of pinpointing what it is that we should do to fulfill the words of Torah, even though each detail is only going to be midrabanan. Okay, Maritz Chayes quotes it over here, so I thought it's kedai to make mention. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mosi Shtar Chov B'Shuk. If a person finds a Shtar Chov in the Shuk, Afal Pi Shekasbo Hanpek Le'achzir Le'Bailim, even though it's a Shtar Mekuyam, they have a certification with the Shtar, a document that authenticates the Shtar, still you cannot return it to the Bailim. Lomi by hech the low cost of both hanpeik tikal the memor cost of lovus flolova. You don't even need to tell me in a case where it hasn't been mukuyim, where you don't have a certificate of authenticity on it, that it's possible that the loan never even happened. Of course, in that case, I shouldn't return it. Ela filu kasbo hanpeik, even if you have a hanpeik written on the shtar, umayniu de mukuyim, and that means that the shtar is mukuyim, and you know the loan happened. Lo yachzir, you still don't return it to Cheshin Lepiron because we're afraid that maybe it's been paid back. This is obviously in stark contrast to Shmuel. Shmuel, who was higher up on the Amud right after the Tzedat, said you find the Shtar Hakna B'Shuk, you always return it to the Baal. Now the truth is this isn't a Shtar Hakna, this is a Shtar Stam, a Shtar Chov that has a handpeg. So says the Gemara, Eser Rabbi Yomri L'Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi Yomri asks Rabbi Avo, but wait a second, didn't we learn Kol Maisa Bezdin Areza Yachzir? Anytime you have a Maisa Bezdin, you can return it. So we said before, that we quoted this earlier as well, that Kol Maisa Bezdin, you're supposed to return it. We use that as a raya to Shmuel, that you're always supposed to return a Maisa Bezdin. And yet over here we see that this is against Rabbi Avohu, because Rabbi Avohu had said that you don't return a shtar, even if there's a hanbeik, even if it's been mekuyam. So Amalei, Rabbi Avohu said back to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah Bri, my son Yirmiyah, lo Kol Maisa Bezdin Shavim. Not all Maisa Bezdins were created equal. El Kigon Shuhuchsa Kafran. No, you know when when you have to worry about returning, when you have to not return a Maisa Bezin, is when the guy is Muchsa Kafra, when the guy cannot be believed to say that he's paid back. If the lover we know has denied owing money, so he's not believed to, I'm sorry, this is when you can return it. If the lover has previously denied owing money that we know he still owed, meaning he said parati, and we know that he hadn't paid it, so then against such a lover, you don't have to worry that you're going to return it, and the guy's going to be able to collect, because anyway the lover is not neman to say parati. I mean, what are you worried about? You're worried that the lover is going to say it's not fair, I already paid it? We don't believe him anyway, he's already huchsa kafran. So in such a case, you're allowed to return it. So Amar Rava, umishum to huchsa kafran chadazim nasulo paraklal. Really, because so one time in a guy's life, he lied about paying something back, so then he's never going to be believed that ever again, and we're always going to assume that he's huchsa kafran. Isn't that going to cause people to take advantage of him constantly? Or if you look at Rashi, the sulo para klal bitmiya vichashin lepiron zesh lo niso lishmar shtaro yafsit. So if the lover ever doesn't have a shtar that he, or a receipt that he's already paid back, so people are just going to be able to take advantage of him left and right. He's always going to lose. So ella amar Rava masnisim b'shtar chatos v'adrachtuch Rabbi Zeira. So now Rava says, rather what you have to assume is that when do we say kol ma'aseh bezin yachzir? That's only by those particular shtaros where there's no chashash of piron, and like Rabbi Zeira said, that we're not choshish for piron on the shtari chaltas of adrachta, on the shtaros that based in right for a person to be able to confiscate properties in payment for money that he's owed. That he's owed. So says the Gemara, okay, once we mention kafran, the kafran holvas liyadan, once we mention the idea of someone who's a kafran, who denies owing money, name of a milso, might as well talk about that a little bit. Damar Rav Yosef Bar Menumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Yosef Bar Menumi says the name of Rav Nachman, Amru lo, if Bezin says to a guy, say tain lo, go and give the money, meaning, you lost the case, now you owe the money, we want you to go out and pay it. Va'amar, and then the guy says, sometime later, Rashi has in the words, la'achar zman. Right, the guy comes back sometime later and he says, parati, I already paid it back because I followed the psak of Bezin that told me to pay it, so I did. Ne'eman, he's believed, says Rashi, not so fast, ubishuas heses. He's believed, provided he takes a shuas heses, that he already paid it back, but he is believed. Ba malva lichtov ein kosum nosen lo. If the malva wants to write a shtara drachta to be able to confiscate properties, we do not write a shtara drachta for the malva, because we assume if the lova says that he paid back, we believe the lova that he in fact did pay back, as long as he's willing to take a shvuas hasis. There's a big chakira in the Achronim about what shvuas hasis is really all about, right? On daraisa level, there are many cases where one is not chayiv shvuas, and the rabbanim came in and said you chayiv shvuas hasis. For instance, a kofar akol. Right, so Reuven tainus to Shimon Yomi $100. So if Shimon was mother mixas, he says, oh, you have 50. So then there's a shvur daraisa ki huzeh, the Gemara dashes. But if he's kofar akol, he denies he owes anything. So then he has to take a shvur hesis. So chakir in the achronim. What's shvur hesis about? A shvur hesis, really, we know that the guy's telling the truth. When you're kofar akol on a daraisa level and even at the rabbanon level, you're telling the truth. But we require shvur hesis kedei lahafiz daito, in order to make the other guy feel better about the situation. Meaning, when I'm claiming money, and I really believe you owe me the money, so I'm not going to be calmed down about the situation unless I feel like I got something out of you. So when you take a shvua, it calms me down a little bit, but not that anyone suspects you of lying. Or no, maybe shvuas hesis is that we're a little bit suspicious. Even though on a daraisa level, you're believed to be kofar akol, but on the other hand, there is a chazaka that a person is not tovea money, unless he has some sort of taina on you. We may not know the exact nature of the taina and the exact and how strong it is, the taina is min adin, but still, we have this chazaka that the guy doesn't just make something up out of thin air, doesn't just come into court and just take a random person and start asking him for money. There's got to be something there. There's smoke there, so there's got to be something there. And therefore, in order to let Beis Din be comfortable with the idea, and because we're a little bit suspicious that the fellow might be lying, so we make him take a shavuos hesis. That's the chakira in the achronim. They give a whole bunch of nafkaminas to that chakira, whether you could be mepach shavua, etc. Okay, but just anyway. So in our gemara, what's the issue over here? If the bezin says say tainlo, go out and pay right away, and then sometime later the guy says he paid, he's absolutely believed, and the malva cannot get a shtara drachta on the nechassim. But slightly different lashon. If Bezin doesn't say tainlo, they say, you know, you're obligated to give. they didn't go in the imperative with the instruction, say tein lo, just a more laid back, chayev atali tein lo, it seems to us, min adin, that you're going to be chayev, va'amar parati. And then the guy says sometime later that he paid back, eino neman, he's not believed. Because why would he pay back? Bezin never told him to pay back. They just said he's going to be chayiv. They never told him, they never instructed him to pay. Ba'malva lichta of kosum nosna. And if that case, the malva wants a shtar drachta to be able to get the nechasim, so Bezin is going to give him one, because we assume he has not yet been paid. Says Tosus, what does it sound like over here? It sounds like chayiv atalite lo is not at all a psak din. Right? The fact that we're saying chayiv atalitin lo, we don't assume the lover pays after Beis Din tells him chayiv atalitin lo. Sounds like chayiv atalitin lo is not a psak din. Chayiv atalitin lo is Beis Din telling us, yeah, we're really leaning to the direction that you're going to have to pay. But without Beis Din actually making him pay. Say tein lo is a psak din. Fractosos, hacha mashma de chayiv atalitin lo lovi psak din gamur, kim say tein lo. Over here it's mashma that only say tein lo is a psak din, not chayiv atalitin lo v'chein mashma meruba, and so it's implied in Maseches Baba Kama as well. V'kasha, de perakamet Sanhedrin, I mean, hechi dami gemar din, ploni ata chayiv ata zakai. The Gemar in Sanhedrin says, what is a gemar din? What's the definition of gemar din? And the Gemar says, ploni ata chayiv. That's chayev atalitin, though. That's not seitein, though. And the Gemara defined that, says that's definitional. That's the definition of Gemara din. Isn't that against our Gemara? So it says Tosfos Yeshlomer dehasa mikri Gemara din liinyan shasul levtzoa levishi yodei lehechan adin nota. He says no, that's a different situation. Over there, the Gemara is not discussing the Gemara din in terms of when we assume the guy would have known that he has to pay because Beis Din has instructed him to do so. No. Over there we're discussing the halacha of pshara. The Gemara is a major sugya in Sanhedrin about whether it's mutter to do a pshara instead of din. Can you come up with some other fair compromise rather than just following the din? So the Gemara says, even if you hold mitzvah levtzoa, even if you hold that there's a mitzvah to do pshara, it's only up until a certain point in the case. Once Beis Din is getting to the point that they're coming toward arriving at a conclusion of the case, what we would call Gemar Din as far as the Sugi and Sanhedrin is concerned, then you can't bail out and do Pshar instead. Once Beis Din gets to the point of Chayiv Atalitin, though, granted, that's not a real Gemar Din for other halachos, but in regards to Pshara, that's considered enough of a Gemar Din that we assume that if you just are going to start asking for Pshara at that point, is because you realize you're about to lose the case. And that's not how Pshara happens. Pshara has to happen Meyikara. It has to happen at the beginning, where you go and you go to the Beis Din, when you say that you prefer Pshara. People have to be aware, Pshara doesn't mean that Beis Din says, oh, he claims he owes him $1 million, he claims he owes him nothing, okay, you owe him $500,000. That's not Pshara. Right? Pshara is that Beis Din uses things other than Chosh and Mishpat. They use sociological factors, they use psychological factors, they use what people view as fair and yashar. It's just that, but it is a din also. In fact, there are many of the halachos of din are nogeat pshara as well, right? The Rav Shechter used to point out that there's Rabbi Kiveger on Shulchan Aruch, that if a dayan messes up pshara, it's a violation of losata mishpat. It's a violation of perverting justice. Pshara is also justice. It's just justice on a different level. It's just not using purely the choshen mishpat to promote the justice. And there's a day on the Gemara, a very strong day on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that pshara is aser. They're not allowed to do it. Why? Because if there's an MS, Alpi Dinei Torah, Me'echitesi, we can start using our own seichel and our own ideas of what's fair and what's right. But the underlying theme, though, is that why do we paskin that mitzvah, that there's a mitzvah to do pshara? Because we assume that the value of shalom is even greater than the value of MS. And therefore, that mishanin b'nei shalom, for instance, we know you're allowed to lie for the sake of shalom. So since the value of shalom is greater, and with pshara of salvechik, is a beautiful piece in Reflections of the Rav, where he explains in very nice English exactly the difference between din and shalom. He says, with din, someone always comes out feeling like they lost. And someone always comes out with a taina. Someone always comes out feeling like there was something wrong with the case. With pshara, that doesn't always happen. With pshara, the whole idea is that even the guy who lost, at least he'll feel like everything was dealt with fairly. At least he'll be able to say that things were dealt with fairly. So that's the value of pshara. Just one last vart relating to that. Margolius Yam and Sanhedrin, Davav, I was just looking at my notes in Sanhedrin, has a beautiful vart. The Mishnah Maseches Avos and Pirkei Avos tells us, Rishim Gumli Alomer al Shlosha Devarim Ha'olam Kayam, al Adin V'al Emes V'al Shalom. That there are three things that the world stands on: din, emes, and shalom. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says, Emes, Mishpat, Shalom, Shift B'Sharechem. That Emes, Mishpat, and Shalom, you should judge in your gates. So Frecht, the Magal Yasiyam, says, shouldn't Rabbi Shimon Gamliel just say, Ha'olam Kayim Aladin Ra'al Emes Al Shalom? Why is Al Shlosh from what? I don't know how to count. He has to tell me three, he has to tell me number three. I wouldn't get it on my own. And furthermore, he changes the order of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Emes first, then Mishpat and Shalom. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Din, then Emes, then Shalom. So he says, no, he's coming la'afuke, the shita that holds that you should do pshara, that there's a mitzvah to do pshara. I mean, the shita that holds that there's a mitzvah to do pshara will read that pasuk as emes, number one, and then mishpat shalom, justice should always be double shalom, meaning and that's pshara. So there are really only two items in the pasuk. There's emes, and there's mishpat shalom. So for Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, no, al shlosha devarim. He says, don't read the pasuk that way. There are three things that the world stands on. And he separates Mishpat and Shalom from each other so that you shouldn't confuse the two and put them in the same category. Din, then he puts Emes in the middle, and Shalom, right? In order to show, to demonstrate that it should be different categories. But anyway, that's not the way we paskin. We paskin that it's a mitzvah of tzawa, that it's a good idea to do pshara. Okay, says the Gemara weiter. Rav Zvid Mishmed Rav Nachum Rambam Bein Seitein Lo Bein Chayavatalitein Lo Vamar Prati Naman. Whether it's Seitein Lo or whether it's Chayavatalitein Lo, either way, if the guy claims that he paid back later, he's believed. Why? Because he understands when Bezin says Chayavatalitein Lo, they don't have to instruct him and now go and give it to him. If Bezin says you're obligated to give it to him, that's enough. He'll get it. And therefore, if the Malva wants a shtar adrachta, at that point, we do not provide him with one. If you want to distinguish, the distinction should be made as follows. If a guy, if the Bezin says, go give it, and he says, I already paid back. We're adding another detail here. And Edim came and testified that he did not pay it back. Then we assume he's established to be someone who lies about that money, and therefore we're never going to believe him. But if Bezin told him you have to pay, he didn't say Tseitein Lo, just said you have to pay, and he says he paid back. And Edim testified that he had not paid back. And then at a later point he says, okay, now I paid back. He's not considered to be a kafran for that money. Even though he didn't pay back right away, that's not considered such a big ha'aza, because Bezin never had instructed him directly to pay back. So he's not considered a kafran regarding that money. He's going to be believed. My taima, why not? He says, you know what? He was trying to delay. He was trying to stall, hoping that the Rabbanan would look into his din a little bit more. Maybe they'd still find a heter. But he understands, once it's at Seitein Lo, once the Bezin is telling him Seitein Lo, there's no more looking into the din. Then it's done. Then it's over. And there's no need, there's no reason to delay. And if he's delaying, he's lying. It's not called delaying, it's called lying. Now, how can you have this case? The case is that the guy says, I paid back. Edom said, no, you didn't pay back. So the Edom were holding his hand the entire time. They were standing right next to him. So from the time that he borrowed the money until now, they know for sure that he didn't pay back. And there was no wire transfer somewhere. How do they know? How do they know that he didn't pay back? So Rashi says, interesting. They don't really know. Rashi says, V'edom idinu soshlo para bifaneinu tavu lefro'alo. What are the Edom saying? They're saying that we saw Reuven ask Shimon for the money right in front of us, helping Beis Din, velo paro, and he didn't pay it when he asked for it. Hol bifneim hezim lavar al hey is lavar al pi Beis Din, eino neman shuv lama pratav shlo Beis Din. Since the Edim saw that when the guy came asking based on the power of Beis Din, I want you to pay me, and he was meiz not to pay him, so we assume that this guy is never going to be believed at a later point to say that he did pay it. Unbelievable. Meaning the Edom cannot testify that he didn't pay. They don't know that he didn't pay. But because they know once he didn't pay, once when he was approached about it, he didn't pay, and we know that time he didn't pay, so then the guy is never going to be believed to say that he did pay. That's, no, not all the Rishonim agree with Rashi. It's a big chiddush in saying that's called Edos that he didn't pay. That's not Edos at all that he didn't pay. So the Rashi writes, no. That the case must be that the guy said, I paid you last Tuesday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, And that the Edom could verify, no, we were with you last Tuesday, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and we know you didn't pay. I mean, he narrowed it down to a specific time where he claims he paid, and the Edom are able to testify that they know during that time it was clearly not paid back. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Amar Rabba Baruchan Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Man li biyadcha, v'alomar ein lecha biyadi klum. Reuven says Shimon yomi $100. Shimon says I owe you nothing. The Edom Edom also sheyesh lo v'chazav amprati. Edom say yes, you do. You owe him money, and then he says, oh yeah, you're right, I do, but I paid him back. So we already know that this guy lies about this money because the first time he was approached, he denied ever owing the money. Just like the case of Shabtai, the son of Rabbi Merenos, wrote over to his daughter-in-law a silk garment in her ksuba, as part of her ksuba, she was going to receive a silk garment, and he was mekabel on himself, Irkus ksuba to pay it, and then Irkus ksubasa, and then she lost her ksuba. So Amar lo yidvar me'olam, and he says, ah, then I don't know about any silk garment. I didn't write anything about a silk garment. Asu sadi v'amri in kasvla. Witnesses came and said, no, we saw that ksuba. We remember. You don't forget something like that in the ksuba. When they're reading the ksuba, all of a sudden they start mentioning a silk garment. You remember something like that. L'sof amri luhu paratia. So then he says, yeah, oh, you're right. Oh, that silk garment. Yeah, I paid that one already. That's taken care of. So asul kamed Rabbi Chia amrlei chasak the kafron lo sitzla. So came to Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia says, you can't say now that you paid it. You were just denying that it ever existed. You're already chasak kafron regarding that itzla, and therefore you're never going to be believed about it. Am Rabbi Yovan, Am Rabbi Lo, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Hayichayev l'chaver shvuah v'amr nishpati. If a guy was chayev a shvuah to his friend, and then he claims, I already took it. I already took the shvuah. Ve'edim edim also shalom nishpati. And edim come and testify that he did not swear. Again, it has to be something similar to the issue before of edim testifying that a guy didn't pay. It's hard to have edim to verify that you didn't swear unless he's saying I swore at a certain point. And the edim verify that at that point in time he clearly didn't swear. Huchsa kafron also shvua. So the guy is considered to be a kafron regarding that shvua, and we don't believe him anymore about ever saying that he took that shvua unless we know for sure that he took it. Amru kamed Rabbi Avo. Amru mistavr milsud Rabbi Avin shenuskayev shvua bebezdin. So Rabbi Avo said that makes a lot of sense if you're talking about someone who was chayv shvua and bezdin. Aval chayv atzmo shvua neman. But if he was mechayv himself a shvua, he is believed because avinin ish demikri va'amar. Because it's sometimes people just say things. Even and it's not really that he's denying anything. He's just sort of being dochei, sort of delaying. Meaning it wasn't really a real chayv shvua. He didn't take it quite as seriously. So you're not going to say he's huchsak a kafron about that shvua forever. I mean, he pushes it off, doesn't take it as seriously. But when it comes to a shvua bebezdin, if he lied about it previously and then he wants to claim that he took it, so that he's huchsa kafron, that we're not going to believe anymore. Now the Rush says that we see from here that when a guy is chayv shvua and bezdin, unless we have edim that say that he didn't take it, you do see that he is ne'aman to say nishmati, right? The guy is believed to say that he has taken a shvua la'achas man. Rabbeinu Haigon is quoted by the Rush, however, saying that by a shvua da'oraisa, if a guy claims nishmati, he needs to take a shvua's hesis that he was already nishba. He needs to take a shvua's hesis that he had already taken the shvua da'oraisa. If it was only shvua d'rabbanan that Bezin was going to be mechayiv him in, and he's claiming sometime later that he already took it, then you're not going to have to take a shvua sesis, because takanta lo avdinan. The very shvua he was chayiv was rabbanan, and we're not going to rabbinically impose a shvua sesis to verify that he took the original shvua rabban. But a shvua d'oraisa, says Rabbeinu Haigon, he's going to have to take a shvua hesis to verify that he already took his shvua d'oraisa. The Ritva says, no, that's ridiculous. Shvua hesis is always about money. It's about, I'm taking a shvua hesis that I don't owe the money. I'm a kofar hakol, so I take a shvua hesis that I don't really owe anything. But a shvua, Shvuas Hesis, about a chiv, Shvuas Daraisa, that you don't have such a thing. This seems to be a broader discussion in the Rishonim, whether you apply monetary principles to Shavua. Tosos in Masechta Shavuos, we discussed earlier, has a line about Amotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. When it comes to being Mechayiv somebody Shavua, in a case where there's no Dror Demona, where the Gemara has a discussion over there, Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya, Tosos uses such a Lashon. That since we're not sure which Lashon to Paskin, like we don't know whether a guy is Chayiv Shavua, you can't be Mechayiv him Shavua unless you can bring a Raya that he's Chayiv Shavua. So what kind of lashon is that? Motzi mechaver l'varaya? That's about money. That's not about a shvua. Where do we say motzi mechaver l'varaya? About a shvua. But that's very much in line with Rav Haigon over here. We're applying monetary principles to a Shavua also. Whereas the Ritva will say, no, you don't do that. Money is money, Shavua is Shavua. Says Gemara Vayter, in Marnami, Am Rabbi Yavanam, Rabbi Lam, Rabbi Yochman, Chayv L'Chaver Shavua Bebezin, Vam Nishbati, the guy was Chayv Shavua and Bezin, and he claims he already swore, Ve'edim Edim also Shalom Nishba, Edim say he didn't swear, Chutz L'Kafran also Shavua, he's assumed to be a Kafran for that Shavua, we don't believe him ever that he swore already. Am Rabasi, Am Rabbi Yochman, Motzi Shtachov B'Shuk V'Kosbo Hanpeik, V'Kosbo Zmanu Bo Bayom, new case, I find a shtar, and I look at the date, and it's today's date. The loan happened today, and the shtar is mekuyam. Yachziru lebaylam. Absolutely, you return that shtar. There's no way that shtar was perua already. The loan just happened today. Imishum kasav lovasalalova. If you're worried that maybe they wrote a shtar and the loan never happened, no, kasav hanpeik. The shtar is mekuyam. It has a certificate of authenticity. You know the loan happened. Imishum piraon lepriya bas yom alo cheshin. What? You're worried it was paid back? It happened today. There's no way it was paid back today. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that? That it's impossible that a shtar gets paid back on the same day that the loan happened? Didn't you say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, shtar shalova ba'uparo, enu chazav v'lova ba'u shekvar nimchal shibudo? That if you have a shtar that you used to borrow money, and then it was paid back, you cannot use that same shtar again for a subsequent loan? And what's the case over there? Amos. When is that second loan happening? If the second loan is happening on the following day or the day after that, you know why you can't use that shtar? Not because the shibud on that shtar was already nimchal through the payback. No. Typically, the shtar is anyway possible. It's got the wrong date on it. The shtar says yesterday's date, 2 days ago's date, the date of the first loan. So of course I can't use that shtar again to borrow money again 2 days later. Of course, it's a shtar muktam. Utan shtari chavam muktam psulin. And shtar chav muktam is pasul. Elulav. So what must be the case? The case must be where I borrowed money with a shtar, I paid it back right away on the same day, and then I want to borrow money again on the same day with that shtar. Elulav biyomei. But what do you see from there? Alma parianish biomei. How does that happen? That I could borrow money again with that same shtar? It must be that I paid it back on the same day. So how can you, Rabbi Yochanan, tell me that a person never ever pays back a loan on the same day? He's the same guy who taught me this halacha about a shtar that I want to use twice because I paid back a loan on the same day. So you see that people do pay back a loan on the same day sometimes. So Amalei says, no, wait a second. Mika aminat lo pariklal. Did I say it's impossible that a person never, ever pays back a loan on the same day? Sometimes you're right. A guy will borrow $1 million and he'll be really short on money and he needs the money. And then he goes, stops in a gas station, buys a lottery ticket and scratches off it. There's his $1 million. Pay back right away. You're right. Sometimes it happens. A guy pays back on the same day. He says, I didn't ask if it's possible. I asked if you have to be concerned about it when you find a shtar on the street. It's not common enough that the thought has to cross your mind when you find a shtar on the street. If you find a shtar on the street, you could assume it wasn't paid back that day. Rav Kahana Omar, Kishachayiv Moda. Rav Kahana says, no, the case where you're returning the shtar is where the guy who owes the money admits that he hasn't paid it back yet. So that's when you can return the shtar. So Frank Mari Hachim al Memer, then what's the big chiddush? Of course you can return it. No, Mao de Tema Haimer for Pare. Now I might have thought that he really did pay it back. And the reason why he's saying that lo paratia, that he didn't pay it back, is because he wants to borrow money with it again. He wants to be able to use that shtar again. He doesn't want it to get ripped up. He wants to be able to use that shtar again. Why does he want to be able to use it again? He's cheap. He doesn't want to pay to have another shtar written for his next loan, so he wants to be able to take that shtar and use that one again. So kamash malan, therefore it has to teach us that you're still allowed to return it, but you don't have to worry that that's what's happening. Dimkein malva gufei lo shava, because the malva would never allow that to happen. Savar shami berabana mastili. The malva is very nervous about doing the wrong thing, because the malva, the lender, is very nervous about doing the wrong thing, because he says if the rabbanim find out that I'm using the same shtar again for another loan, they're going to cancel the whole shtar. They're going to go rip up that shtar, and I'm never going to be able to get paid back. So he's not going to go for this. He's not going to allow them to use the same shtar that's already been peruach for a future loan, because he's very nervous about getting his money back. So he doesn't want to do anything wrong in terms of the loan. So frankly, really, a malva is always so worried about stepping out of line, accused because he's worried that Rabbanan aren't going to let him get paid back. What's the difference between that and the Mishnah that we had, that if you find shtar echov that have a chayes nechasim, you don't don't return it. And Vukimna, we said, what's the case? Kishachayiv Moda, the Lova admits that he owes the money. And why can't you return it? Because you're afraid that the Shtar says the loan happened in Nisan, but it didn't actually happen until Tishrei. And the Malva is going to end up confiscating properties that he does not have a right to. And over there we don't say, no, the Malva never would have allowed that to happen. He would never allow a Shtar that it says Nisan in it when the loan didn't happen until Tishrei, because he's nervous the rabbis are going to find out about it, rip up the whole thing, and he's not going to collect. So you see over there, the Malva's not so nervous. Look, he's going to stand to gain from it. He's not so worried about it. Answers Gemara, no, but that's exactly the chiluk. In that case, he stands to gain from it. Amri, Hasa Mishum de Islay Ravcha, the Katar of Lakuchas Nisan Vatishrei. It's pretty good for him. He gets to take the Lakuchas from Nisan until Tishrei, Menach Nichole, so he's okay with it. Vlam Vlamide, so he's not gonna complain. Hacha Kim de Lasle Ravcha, the Sov Sov Shtare Inaksiv, Maika the Katar of Lakuchas, Bishtar Shanimchal Shibuda Lo Shavik. But over here, in the case where the he can't be Tarif Lakuchas anyway, because it's the same date on the Shtar, it's just about the Lova being cheap and not wanting to pay for a second Shtar. So the Malva is not going to aid the Lova in his cheapness when the Malva has nothing to gain from it. Then the Malva is going to be very nervous and say, I don't want to play any games over here and end up losing my money. Look, I'll take a risk. I'll play some games if I can make some money off of it. But I'm not going to play any games if I have nothing to gain. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Toi nachar maisa bezin lo amar klum. If a person tainas something that's a tanai bezin and he tainas that he already paid it, we don't believe him. My taima, call ma'isa bezin, command the nakat shtar biyadidami. Whenever there's a ma'isa bezin, there's a takana of bezin that something has to get paid, that's as good as a shtar. That's your chiddush, really? Isn't this a mishnah? A woman has a get, says, you see, I'm divorced, here's my get. She doesn't have her ksuba, but she wants to get paid. So the halacha is she can get her ksuba payment. Why? Apparently because it's a ma'isa bezin. So you see that a ma'isa bezin is as good as a shtar. Amalei, so he said, you're right, it is a Mishnah, but ilav de delay lachas below mishkachas marganisa tusa. Had I not removed the shard of pottery, you never would have found the pearl underneath it. Tosus asked, what kind of metaphor is that? Are pearls really hiding under pottery? Aren't they in oysters or whatever? What kind of metaphor is that? So Tosus says, no, over here, chaspa doesn't mean pottery. It means the rocks on the bottom of the ocean that pearls are underneath. Okay, whatever. But he says, you never would have known the chiddush of that Mishnah had I not told you this idea that a Maisa Bezdin is so strong that you don't even need the shtar, that it's as good as a shtar. Amar Abai, my Marganisa, Abai says, what do you mean? What pearl? Dilma b'makum shem kosvink subaskinan to get hainuk subasa. Because you might have thought that Mishnah is talking about a case where they're dealing in a place where people don't write a ksuba. In a place where people don't write a ksuba, how does a woman ever collect her ksuba? With a get. Av makom shekosum ksuba, but you might have thought, if we were talking about a place where people do write a ksuba, in a kita ksuba gavia, lo gavia, then she'll only be able to collect if she actually has a ksuba, otherwise she'll never be able to collect. So that's what you would have thought from the Mishnah, that's why it's a pearl. Hadar amar Abai lav milsi yidamri. Then Abai says, no, that's incorrect. That whole discussion is incorrect. You never could have interpreted the Mishnah to be talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba. But if it's a place where they do write a ksuba, then she can only collect with her ksuba. You never could have said that, because if that were the case, almana mina erisin b'may gavia. What is an almana mina erisin collect her ksuba with? Beidim misas baal. Only if she has edim that the husband's dead. Litan v'lema paratia. Why can't the yarshim of the husband say it's already been paid? So, meaning the point is, you can't say that in a place where they don't write a ksuba, you can only collect with a get. But in a place where they do write a ksuba, if you don't have the ksuba, you can't collect, because then an almana min erisin would never be able to collect. So, v'chitei machinami imkein ma'il cham takanasan. And if you say in a chinami, then the whole takana an arusa gets a ksuba is useless, because the yorshim will always be able to say they paid back. So then tomorrow we're going to get into the discussion. The Gemara is going to discuss how we know that an almana min erisin even gets a ksuba in the first place.